It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Wisconsin Today brings you information you can trust, along with stories from people and places in Wisconsin that you can't find anywhere else. Thanks for being with us here on WPR.
And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with the story of a Milwaukee priest who was an influential figure during the civil rights movement of the late 1960s.
Father James Grappi was a prominent activist in Milwaukee during the civil rights movement. One particular summer night in 1966, when Milwaukee writer and historian John Goethe was just 19, he joined a march with Father Grappi and the NAACP Youth Council, and it left a lasting impression.
He was a most unlikely civil rights leader. Father James Grappi was an immigrant son, the 11th of 12 children, who grew up behind the family's grocery store in the Italian section of Milwaukee's Bayview neighborhood. Early in his priesthood, Grappi made a trip to Selma, Alabama, that stirred his conscience. The young cleric came back determined to join the struggle for racial justice in his hometown. I marched with Father Grappi near the start of his eventful career as an activist. As the advisor to the NAACP Youth Council, Grappi condemned the whites-only membership policy of the Eagles Club. The fraternal group's roster included what might have been a quorum of Milwaukee County judges. How, Grappi asked, could a magistrate sit in judgment of black Milwaukeeans when he belonged to an organization that had already judged them inferior? The Youth Council targeted one of the club's most prominent jurists, Robert Cannon. For 11 straight nights in the summer of 1966, they picketed his home in a leafy section of suburban Wauwatosa. The marches were quiet at first, but within a week, fanned by nonstop media attention, the number of spectators grew to 4,000, many of them openly, even rabidly hostile. I had turned 19 earlier that summer. I don't recall what drew me to the scene, budding sympathy or just idle curiosity, but I found myself on the west side near the line of march one warm August evening. As the picketers approached, I thought, well, you can watch or you can march. Seconds later, I was one of the relatively few white people in a group of perhaps 200 headed to Wauwatosa. The mood was light at first, almost festive, but the atmosphere changed radically after we crossed the city line at Holly Road. By the time our group reached Cannon's home, we were in the eye of a storm, separated from a mob of jeering, taunting spectators by a cordon of police officers and National Guard troops. After we had marched back and forth for perhaps an hour, Father Grappi said a few words and we headed back to town. It is at this point that my memories become indelible. One of the organizers, thinking no doubt of the symbolism, put me and a black teenager at the head of the line, carrying an American flag between us. We marched directly behind a wedge of National Guardsmen in full battle dress, with their rifles at the ready and bayonets fixed. The scene was surreal, almost dreamlike, and verging on nightmarish. As we headed east on Wisconsin Avenue, a crowd of young white men shadowed us from the sidewalk like running dogs. Some of their taunts were directed at me personally. N-word lover was the most common, but I also heard, "Do you want your sister to marry one?" Never before had I felt so angry, so scared, and so exhilarated all at the same time. Both the goons and the guardsmen were gone by the time we crossed the Wisconsin Avenue viaduct. Our ragtag group of demonstrators made it all the way back to the Freedom House on North Fifth Street, where the mood, after the evening's adrenaline had worn off, was decidedly quiet. Father Grappi himself seemed just plain tired, but I recall being impressed by his obvious physical courage as well as his moral stamina. A youth council member gave me a ride to my car, and I was soon back in the suburban safety of Hales Corners, where it seemed, that night at least, as if nothing had happened since the beginning of time.
And when I look back on it, I think that Grob was the one who kept the lid on it. That's the reason Milwaukee didn't burn. He provided young minority people with an opportunity in a constructive manner to vent those frustrations and to say to the system the kinds of things that they wanted to say in a constructive manner. Had he not been there, Milwaukee would have probably burned. You've got a friend.
John Goethe is a Milwaukee-born writer and historian who's been studying his hometown for over 50 years. The archival audio you heard is of NAACP organizer Prentice McKinney from the 1981 documentary film Decade of Discontent. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Brad Kohlberg.